And then if you would turn back to 1 Kings 17, 1 Kings 17, we will be reading verses 7 through 16. We're breaking into the story about Elijah. And Elijah had been hiding himself by the brook Cherish. And then we read in 1 Kings 17, verse 7, "And after a while, the brook dried up, because there was no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him," that is Elijah, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." And she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said. But first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterward make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty, until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth." And she went and did as Elijah said, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. Elijah is a prominent hero of faith in the Bible. And in Jesus' time, the Jewish people were looking for Elijah to return, as was prophesied in the book of Malachi. Malachi wrote this, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers." And so the people of Israel at that time, when Jesus was living, were very interested in Elijah. And Elijah was considered a very great prophet at the same level as the prophet Moses. Two great prophets. And one of the reasons that Elijah was considered a great prophet is that we have stories that illustrate how faithfully he obeyed the word of God. The stories that we have in the Bible about Elijah describe a path of obedience that Elijah followed, prompted by God each step of the way. Today we are going to look at the third time the prophet Elijah was prompted by God. And Elijah was prompted by God a number of times during his lifetime, and they are recorded for us. And today, we're going to look at the instructions in a very simple way. We're going to say that God gave him instructions in this way. First of all, he told Elijah, "Wait." Then he told Elijah, "Go." Then he told Elijah, "Stay." And then he told Elijah, "Receive." Now, God wasn't training Elijah like we might train a dog, because those sounds like commands that you might give to an animal. He wasn't, because Elijah was much different than any animal. God was training and teaching a man who had intellectual capacity. He had spiritual capacity, which is much more than any animal. But a man needs to learn how to follow God's commands and how God will train them, their minds, and train their hearts to conform with his heart and his mind. And so Elijah was going down a path of obedience. He was obeying God's word to the letter. Basically, that's what we are learning as well in our Christian life. We are learning a path of obedience where we would be able to obey God without even being prompted by God. So how did God lead Elijah down this path of obedience? Well, first of all, God said, wait. And what did he mean when he said, wait? He said, wait at the brook Cherish until I tell you to leave. This must have been a real test of patience for Elijah. He may have been thinking, and we're not told this in the Bible, but he may have been thinking, am I going to have to stay here until I die of dehydration because of the lack of water? Because we are told that the brook Cherish dried up. Or he might have been thinking, shall I take matters in my own hands and leave this place and go to the Jordan River or go to some other spring that he knew of so he could get a little water so that he could live, because he was really thirsty. He could have thought that. He said, well, if I leave here, maybe King Ahab would find me. Well, that might be the end too. I'd die in the hands of King Ahab. Or even worse yet, Queen Jezebel, who really had a thing for Elijah. She hated him, basically. And so he was in a catch-22 position. Do I die here at the brook Cherish? Or do I die by the hand of King Ahab or Queen Jezebel? But he knew that he needed to wait for the word of God. Do you expect the word of God to guide you? Do you trust God to guide you when you are at Brook Cherish, in that very difficult spot where it seems like if you stay, you're going to die? Are you suffering from a serious illness? Do you know someone who is suffering from a serious illness? Do you know someone who has had a great calamity in their lives? And the word of God isn't clear to you what you are to do? Each of these situations and others could be our Brook Cherish. And in these instances, we search the scriptures. We seek wise counsel. We look for ways to give us information on how to go through these difficult times. We read in 1 Corinthians where Paul instructs the Corinthians that each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. Of course, unless you can gain your freedom, and he was talking to slaves, avail yourself of the opportunity. But you must see a clear path, a path of obedience to the word of God. Or are you impatient? King Saul was impatient. He was told by Samuel, wait here for 7 days, and then I'm going to come and I'm going to offer sacrifices. And so King Saul waited for 7 days. And he looked around, where's Samuel? No sign of him showing up. And Saul took it upon himself to offer sacrifices to the Lord. And as he was finishing up the sacrifices for the Lord, Samuel showed up. what was Samuel's response? Samuel had a righteous anger towards Saul, and he took the kingdom that he had just anointed Saul to be king of away from Saul's family. We read in 1 Samuel 13, here's what Samuel said to Saul. You didn't wait on the word of God. You have done foolishly. Foolishly. You have not kept the command of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. There are times when we need to wait on the word of God because we are seeking to do the will of God, and the will of God is not clear to us. Even though we're at the Brook Cherish and it doesn't seem like there's any way out, we wait on the word of God. We still need to do our homework. We still need to be prepared to act when we are prompted by the word of God. So the second commandment from God that Elijah heard was go. God said, go to Zarephath. Seems very simple to us. Okay, finally, I get to do something. Elijah's thinking to himself, I have to go to Zarephath. And that seems like an easy thing. But if you look at the map, and you look where Elijah was hiding out by the brook, and you look where Zarephath was, it's about 75 miles. Okay, hopefully there's a good path. No, it's through a desert. I'm already don't have hardly anything to drink. God said, go to Zarephath. Elijah must have found water along the way. You don't go 75 miles through a desert without water. Secondly, Zarephath isn't in Judah. It isn't in Israel. It's not any place that I'm really familiar with, Elijah's thinking to himself. It's in a foreign country. God, you're telling me to go to a foreign country? That's Elijah thinking at God's command. Go. Thirdly, Zarephath was about 10 miles from Sidon. Sidon is the capital city of Phoenicia or the Philistine territory. Sidon was this capital city where Baal was served. He was going into the home territory of Queen Jezebel. That's where Jezebel was born. That's where she was brought up. I'm going into enemy territory? Doesn't seem right, but that's where God told him to go. Fourthly, no one in Sidon worshipped the God of Israel. They worshipped Baal. Elijah was going in a very strange place. He was hiding in the middle of enemy territory instead of some other secure hiding place. And Zarephath. Zarephath is known as a city where they refined metals. It seems a little interesting, and I'm sure this came upon Elijah eventually. He was being refined and tested by the Lord. Just as metals were being refined and purified in a process in a town that created metal objects, a place of purification, not only the occupation of the inhabitants of Zarephath, but also what God was doing to Elijah by sending him to Zarephath. And I don't think I'm stretching it that much to talk about where Elijah was sent, the type of city. It was given to him to show him that God was still working on him, bringing the dross up and helping him in his life before God, because God had some great things for Elijah to do. And so that path of obedience for Elijah meant to go to Zarephath in the center of enemy territory. There are times when we too can expect that the Word of God is going to guide us and it's going to send us to some unexpected places. There are times when God's dealings with us are the very opposite of what we would have expected. When this happens, we just have to remember God's words, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand," from Isaiah 41:10. God wants you to learn how to be dependent on his power and his goodness no matter where you are sent and what circumstances you are living in. And you might be in a place that you did not want to go to, nor did you plan to get there, and it was totally unexpected how this ever would have happened to you. But that's where God wants you. The third instruction that was given to Elijah was to stay. We read in our passage, God said, "Not only are you supposed to go to Zarephath, you are to dwell in Zarephath." That meant you're going to stay there. You're going to live there. You're going to be there for a while. Get used to it, basically, in this enemy territory. Elijah, he had to go to a place that was foreign to him. It was culturally a Phoenician culture, and he was a Jewish man brought up in the Jewish culture. He was a Jew and he looked like a Jew. He was living with a bunch of people who were of Phoenician ancestry, so they looked like Phoenicians, so he was racially different. They worship God. Their lives circulated around the worship of Baal and all the expectations that Baal had for them. Elijah was a worshiper of the God of Israel. That's where he was. This path of obedience took Elijah to a very awkward place for him. He was out of place. He was out of order. But this was the will of God. We are reminded of the words of Samuel to the king Saul after he had made some other blunders. And Samuel said, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice." And if the Lord wants us to go and live in this awkward spot for us, and that is the will of God, that's where we are to live. We too can only expect the Word of God to guide us, and we can expect that we might be going to unexpected places, and we can expect to sometimes have to live in an unexpected environment. We may have to live in a place where we are the only ones who serve God. That's not where we would want to live, nor where we would expect to live. And there are many people in this world today that are living in environments that are totally contrary to what they believe. They are serving the living God, and they are living in a pagan culture. They are living in places where other gods are served. They are living places where morally the people are living very vile lives, and yet that is where God has placed them to live. Elijah was sent to a place like that. He lived in this place that was unacceptable to him if he had had a choice, but it was where God wanted him to live. And then further, God's command to Elijah was receive. God said, a widow is being commanded to feed you. This put Elijah in a very humbling position. First of all, a widow, by definition, in that culture, would be poor and destitute. And yet God is saying this poor, destitute woman, by definition, is going to sustain you, feed you. And so let's take a closer look at how this happened. It's interesting, how the Bible writes this. It says, Elijah traveled to Zarephath, and we have no knowledge of how that trip went. But when he got to the gates of the city, the next word is, behold, a widow was there. If Elijah had any doubts on how he was going to find a widow in Zarephath who was going to feed him, those doubts were alleviated immediately. That widow was there at the gate of the city gathering sticks, and he recognized her as a widow, and he's saying, oh, look, there's a widow. He found that widow. Elijah found that God's word was true. And if he had had any concerns whether he was going to find that widow, they were gone. They came about right away. And we might call this type of meeting the providence of God. Have you ever thought about this? That God is working multiple paths of people at the same time. And that God works out remarkable intersections of paths. It is remarkable. Elijah happened upon the gate of the city. The widow had just come out of the gate and was trying to gather some sticks. They met. We read that Jacob sent 10 of his sons to Egypt. Now, if you look at the map, Egypt is big. They just happened to go to the granary that Joseph was in charge of. And Joseph was supervising the men who were distributing the grain. And these 10 men, his brothers, showed up. A coincidence? No, God had ordained the paths of the 10 men and the path of Joseph to meet, intersect. We read in the New Testament, and we could talk about many instances, but we read in the New Testament that Philip, who was a deacon in the church, was sent on a road that wasn't well traveled. But all of a sudden, he saw a man, a eunuch, on that road in his chariot, reading the book Isaiah. Philip and the eunuch met. Their paths intersected. God had ordained the path of Philip. God had ordained the path of the eunuch, and they intersected. It is not wrong for us to recognize the hand of God on our paths. You most likely have stories how your path intersected with somebody else or something else, and you were at this particular place at a certain time. Some of you probably have those stories on how you met your spouse, how your paths intersected. And if you had just had a little different timing, you would have never even have met each other. And some of you may have had other intersections in your life where this is how you got your job. Someone had mentioned this or mentioned that, and you had just barely done this or that, and an intersection happened. The providence of God is on our paths. And so the path of obedience for Elijah brought him to an intersection with this widow. This is how God works. Jeremiah says, "I know, O Lord, that the way of man is not in himself, that it is not in man who walks to direct his steps, but it is God's." The psalmist says in Psalm 37:23, "The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way." Our steps are directed by God, and we may encounter these remarkable providences based on how God has blessed us. The next thing that happens, Elijah realizes that this is a widow, and it seems like he throws out a test. He says, "Could you please bring me a cup of water?" And the widow immediately turns around to get that cup of water. I think Elijah was testing whether this was the right widow. And then as she turns away and starts to go and get him the cup of water, it's like he calls out to her, "Oh, can you bring me a little piece of bread?" And we read in the Bible, the widow turns around and says to Elijah, "I'm in a bad situation here. I don't have any bread. And you see, I was just collecting some sticks. And I was going to go home, make a little fire. I have a little meal in my jar. I have a little oil in my jug. And I was going to make some bread, and that was it. Going to make the bread, a little bit for my son, for myself, and then I guess I was going to die. That was it." But you know what? She was very willing to go back home and share that bread with Elijah. Her rations were very skimpy, and she's telling Elijah, "I'm in a bad strait here. You came to the wrong woman, basically. I don't have much food," but she was willing to share. And Elijah immediately reassures the widow in telling her not to fear for her life, because the God of Israel, not Baal, was going to meet their needs. That's what Elijah told her. There is a lesson for us here. Sometimes the path of obedience, I would consider it to be a path of humility. Elijah, in his time of need, still proclaimed the word of God. Even though he desperately needed water and he desperately needed a little food. And have you ever thought about that? Sometimes our best opportunities to witness about what we believe is when we are at our neediest. Our best opportunities for witness is when we are needy, such as we're lying in the hospital bed and we can minister to those who are ministering to us. and we have just suffered some sort of loss and we are ministering to those who are helping us. Or we have a great need for help in one matter or another, and there are opportunities for us to witness about the goodness of Christ even when we are in our neediest position. In fact, this might be a great way to witness to others by demonstrating that we as Christians don't have it together, but we are very needy and we need help from other people. And so this is an opportunity for us, through our needs, to give witness to the God of Israel, just as Elijah witnessed to this widow in Zarephath. And Elijah showed great sympathy for this widow's situation. And he immediately said words that were comforting to her. And he encouraged her, saying, "Don't fear, we're not going to run out of food." But there's a second lesson. This widow had no idea that she was commanded by God to serve and feed Elijah. She may have naturally had a very generous disposition. She may have naturally always been ready to share with others. She also was humble and diligent. She didn't send her son out to go and get those sticks. She went out and got those sticks herself. She had no servants, so she had to do it herself. She was diligent. She was willing to eat the last of their food and do things until the end. She had not lost hope. Maybe she had been hoping that a provision would come to her even after she had eaten the last of her bread and used up the last of her oil and the last of her flour. She is an example for us. Even this woman, who is not a religious woman and served a false god, is an example for us to keep our eyes on what is eternity and spending eternity. And we might be dying in a famine, and we might be dying on our deathbed, and yet we have that hope that something is going to happen. And we as Christians have a great hope for eternity, even when we are on our deathbed, that we can keep on going, encouraging those who surround us, even as we are in desperate situation. And so that's what she did. All that we do should be done in light of eternity. And a third lesson. Sometimes God grants us what I would say are small blessings. But these small blessings can go a long way. Every day, that widow lady looked into her jar to get a little flour out of that jar, enough to make the daily bread. She looked at her oil jug, just enough oil to mix with the flour so she could warm it in the oven and bake it for the day. And she might have thought to herself, "I have just enough here for today to serve Elijah, my son, and some other people in her house and herself." But she probably also thought, "I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. There's not enough in here for another day. I'm using this up." And yet, when she got up the next morning and she looked in that jug and she looked in the jar, the jug had just enough oil. The jar had just enough flour for the day. God blessed Elijah and the widow lady, what I would say, incrementally. Every day was a small blessing for that family and for Elijah. Why do you think Jesus taught his disciples to pray these words, "Give us this day our daily bread." Because God provides us with our provisions on a daily basis, on an incremental basis. Each day is a new day. Each day is an opportunity for us to thank God for the provisions that he has given to us for that day. And so this widow is a great example to us on how God will give us what we need for this day. And some of you might be the worrying type. You might be anxious and you say, "What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?" But Jesus says, "But seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you," from Matthew 6. And so this woman, after a while, thanked God each day for the provisions. And every day we should be thankful for blessings, great and small. If we look at the life of Elijah, Elijah learned some great lessons from God, especially as he was following the pathway of obedience. He learned to wait for the word of God so that when he was ready to move on, he knew that it was truly the word of God that had been with him. But he learned that sometimes he had to wait. And he also learned when to go. When the Lord prompts us to go somewhere, and we might be prompted to go somewhere that's totally unexpected, that we need to go and do what the Lord wants us to do. And he learned how to live and stay or remain where the Lord had placed him. The Lord had placed him in Zarephath, not the place he wanted to live, I'm sure, but a place where God had placed him. And he stayed there. And he learned to live there. But lastly, he had to learn not only to rely on God to give him his daily provisions, but he had to rely on this widow woman to give him a roof for his head and to do the cooking. He had to receive all of this from others. He wasn't able to give of his own sustenance, but he had to receive totally. Isn't this a path of obedience for each one of us? Sometimes we need to wait for the word of God to prompt us to make a move and to make a change. And sometimes those promptings are different than what we've expected. And sometimes we are in awkward places, but the Lord expects us to be able to live in those awkward places just as we would live in those nice, comfortable places. And lastly, the Lord is going to provide for our needs, and we may have to eat humble pie and to receive from others when we like to do everything ourselves. Elijah learned these lessons. They were great lessons for him, and they are lessons for us to learn from as well. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for Elijah and the story that we have here in the Bible of how he had to live in such a strange place. But Lord, we are thankful that he was provided for, and this story has been given to us to learn from it. And Lord, we would pray that we would be able to apply some of these things to our own lives. Lord, in thy name we pray. Amen.